Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. It's Jesus talking. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's communicating this with them after he's delivered a demon-possessed boy. And then he begins to talk to the crowd. He begins to talk with all kinds of people that are throwing accusations. And he even, and I won't read this out verbatim, but in verse 19 he even starts talking to people, "You faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you?" Because they started asking him questions about delivering them. And he said he was possessed by an evil spirit. And Jesus was just a little frustrated because the disciples were trying to do something. They were trying to make something happen, and they were confused why they couldn't make it happen. And we get to verse 23 after it says, the spirit often threw him into the fire and into the water, trying to kill him. "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Now imagine that, a spirit that has tormented someone to the point where they want to throw themselves in a body of water. They want to throw themselves in a fire to be burned. Now this, and not only is it just a person, it is a child that's going through this. And verse 23, Jesus says this. I'll read it in a couple different translations. King James states it similar to this: "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." New Living says this after they said, "Hey, if you can do this, please have mercy on us if you can." And he says, "What do you mean if I can? What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes it." The father instantly cried in verse 24, "I do believe. But Lord, help me with my unbelief." Has anybody ever felt that way before? Pastor, minister preaches the word. You just read the word and you believe God can do anything, but you still are like, "God, I believe, but help my unbelief." Amen. If you put your Bibles down today, I'm going to speak on the topic, "I can believe it. I can believe it." Would you stretch your hands out today? Pray for me today. Ask God to help me, help you. God, today we come before you, Lord, with your word. God, we know your spirit's in the house. We know you're moving in the house. God, I pray you would help me today. Help these sweet people today. God, help us lift up your name and glorify your name and believe what thus saith the Lord shall be done. And we can believe to declare things as well. In Jesus' name, touch me in my heart and my mouth, God, as I speak the words of faith today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word today. Have you ever hoped something would happen? That's a pretty general way of saying it. I feel like I hit everybody in the room when I said that. You ever hoped something would happen? Have you ever had something happen unexpectedly, like in a good way? Something just right into your lap and you went, "I can't believe it." Right? Even maybe something, we take this a lot of times into even our church world and into a Christian mindset. When we pray for something to happen, we may pray for a healing or a job or financial blessing, and the miracle happened. And we still, in our mind, and in the way we say, "I can't believe it." We mean it in a good way. We mean it in a way that is exciting and almost we didn't expect. It was unexpected that that thing, whether miracle, Christian, or life in general, whether it happened or not, right? We say, "I can't believe it." Well, this morning, I want us to just change our frame of mind. I just want us to change the way we communicate, because I don't want us to be shocked anymore when God does something he said he's going to do. When God says he's going to do something and it happens, I don't want us to be shocked anymore. I want it to be a new declaration of, "I can believe it." I believed that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. But yet we still find ourselves as the man in this story. God, I do believe, but help my unbelief. There's always that something in the back of our mind, in the back of our hearts, that just don't know. And it's not really if God can, right? At least it's not for me. For me, it's not if God can, because God could do anything. If God wants to turn that chair into a sheep, it's going to happen. That's a pretty wild analogy and thing to say, but wow, you know, it just came to my head, so I said it. If God wants to do that, he could do that. I don't deny if God can. What I have a really hard time with is if God will. Right? Because so often in the church world, and you may hear it, and you may even hear it from me from time to time, and it is true to some extent, that, well, I want God's will in my life, and I'm just not sure if this is God's will. Right? We pray for people to be healed. Me and Savannah and I and the girls were just at someone's house. They attend New Life, but she is an elderly lady, an elder in the church, a mighty woman of God, someone I was close to me, close to my heart. I enjoy watching. I love when the elders worship and dance and are an example of what living a godly life is. That makes my heart so happy, as much as it does when the young people or when the families or when the parents. I love it all. But when the elders do it, it just signifies they've been through so much in their life, and yet they still worship and praise. It just does something to me. It makes me feel like I can keep going. It makes me feel like I can do it. Well, this sweet elder is on her deathbed. Now, she's in the 80s, 90s. She's an elder, right? She's older. She's lived a very long life, a very fulfilling life in the kingdom. Has kids that all live for the Lord, that walk with God, grandkids the same. We sit there beside her bed, and now at the time of seeing her, she still has some strength. So she's laughing, cutting up, believing, looking me in the face and saying, keep preaching the word in Watertown. That just does something to you. And I sit there and so much of my faith wants to rise up and say, get up out of this bed and be strong. Right? But in the back of my mind, is that what God wants? She's lived a long life. She's lived a lot of life of what God wants. But is this what God wants? And that's the hardest thing to live through, right? Is that dichotomy, that tearing apart of your faith knowing God can, but your humanity not sure if He will. And the problem with much of that thinking, is that it creeps into areas of our life in which God has given us dominion over. Men's conference. And I told some of the men this on the way home the other night. In men's conference, I'm praying. I'm asking God to just, you know, move in certain circumstances and situations. I'm praying for our church. And the minister's preaching about how we have dominion. When we walk in the Spirit, we have dominion to speak to the mountain, as Jesus said, and it will be removed. And God was, and I was saying, God, if it's your will, do this. If it's your will, do that. And I'm going to declare it. Right now I'm being vague about it, but I'm going to declare it in a little bit. God, if it's your will, do this. If it's your will, do that. And God reminded me that when He created Adam and gave him dominion over the garden and essentially over the entire earth, He told Adam to care for the garden and to name every animal. Now here's the way I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, I'm going to name that a sheep. Is that what God wants me to do? Y'all see where I'm going? It's this, something in the back of my mind wonders, am I making the right declaration? Yeah. Because ultimately, I want what God wants so bad that it doesn't matter what I want. If God wants this, I want that. And so much of my prayer is, okay, but God, if you want. And suddenly God hit me on Friday night in the middle of the message, that as long as I walk with Him, as long as I pursue Him, He will honor that which I declare. And if it don't happen, guess what? I'll just say, God be the glory. We're following Jesus. But if it does happen, and I believe it will, then I'm going to say, I can believe it. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Not some things, not few things, but all things. That doesn't leave any room for any doubt if anything can be possible. If you believe it, it can be done. You've heard me mention on Wednesday night and on some Sunday mornings about when I was a little boy and being sick and at my grandmother's house and her looking at me and say, healing's in your body. I command healing to come out of your body and you be healed in Jesus' name. She was declaring based on what God has already made a foundation for. And you know what? God has already made a foundation for His church. Do you believe that? Now, His church as a corporate body, as a whole, He has made a foundation for. I preached about that last week, it being on Jesus and on the oneness of God and on the name of Jesus and being in the power of that name. But God has already established not only the corporate body of the church, but He has already established the foundation of the growth of this local assembly. He's already established it. He has set up order in this community, in this local assembly. So if God has already established, set in order, set in motion, just like He did at the creation when the world starts spinning and the sun was shining and day and night, and He set a man over that garden, and He has set a pastor over this house and great men and women in this house, then there is just something about our faith. Our faith, as Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith, now faith, right now, this moment, this second, right now, as you're listening to me, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, so it's something I can tangibly hold in my hand. It's substance. This right here gives me faith of what to hope for. That the gates of hell will not prevail. That His name will be preached. Yes. That we will have baptisms in Jesus' name like last Sunday. That we're going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That we're going to see lives turned around, marriages put together. We're going to see those that are addicted to drugs and pornography. We're going to see their lives changed around and freedom would come. If you believe, now faith is that substance. Wait a second, I can get even better than that. Now, faith, you're the substance. And you're the substance of what this church has always hoped for. If you don't know what this church is headed toward, if you don't know the direction and you don't know the end goal, well, let me tell you something. Look at you sitting on the pew. Because you hadn't always been here. At the foundation of this church, it started with a family just preaching in their living room and went to a city hall and then went to a building that they prayed for and asked God for. And today we're in a building, and I, as the pastor of this church, and I hope you as the congregation is willing to stand and testify, this is not the end. There is more. And my faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm declaring over this house, as Adam had dominion over the garden, that God's going to give us church buildings. I'm sorry, is this on? God's going to give us church buildings. God's going to give us properties to build the kingdom of God on. Do you believe that with me today? We're going to give, we're going to declare, we're going to tithe, we're going to give offering, but I'm not talking about things we pay for. I'm talking about God giving us. God's going to give it to us. I declare in Jesus' name that God would give us buildings. I don't care if it's this one. I don't care if the property's that one. It don't matter to me. I'll declare it if that's what God wants. But I declare that God wants to give us. I'm not opposed to paying for things. I believe that anything worth having is worth paying for. But I believe Jesus already paid the cost for this church to be growing. I believe Jesus already paid the price for kingdom-minded people and a kingdom-minded church. He rose from a grave, gave a great commission to us. I do not believe that he is standing on the sidelines just hoping up for us to give more tithe and offering, though those things are biblical and necessary. God is not on the sidelines waiting for us to give more. He is waiting on the sidelines for us to declare his angels be dispatched, his glory be sent out. But it first has to begin in this house. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Everything this church has hoped for is sitting in this room right now. But it's also the evidence of things not seen. We cannot see what God is doing in this room. We cannot see what God is doing on our behalf. And many of the men that I spoke this on Friday night, I know it probably took them way off guard when I said, God's going to give us a building. God's going to give us property. And you know what I said? I said, we just don't know what God's doing on the other side of the fence. How will God do it? I don't care. I don't care how God does it, but all I know is he's going to do it. Amen. Amen. And it's not for us to say, oh, look at our brand new building. Look at our church. We're not going to just say, hey, God, look at everybody. God gave us a building. That's not what we do it for. We do it because God has been glorified and he will continue to be glorified. The moment we turn our eyes and our foundation away from the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus, that is the moment our church just becomes a community of people who come together and sing a couple songs and a preacher who preaches a sermon. There has to be something about our church that's different than every other church in the world, that we are built on the cornerstone of Jesus, and we have faith enough to believe. If you come in crippled, you're going to leave walking. If you come in blind, you're going to leave seeing. If you come in dead in sin, you're going to leave alive in resurrection. If you come today and you're depressed, you're going to leave with joy everlasting. You're going to leave today different. That is what our church is built on. That's the faith it's built on. It's not faith that is wishful thinking. It's not faith of blind optimism. It's faith that has substance. It's faith that has evidence. I believe today God is setting us up for faith like we've never had before. That faith goes beyond Sunday morning. Faith that goes beyond a Wednesday night. What we pray for starts happening. Yes. Do you believe that with me? Can you clap your hands unto God today? Woo! I feel on fire today, y'all. I feel like God is anointing me to declare to this church that we are not just a group of people that are just getting by from Sunday to Sunday that love our church, though I'm thankful. We are not just a people of that. We are a people that is empowered to change our community, to share the light of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, and to pray for those outside of this building and they recover. I don't know if you believe it, but I believe these young people can lay hands on people in school and things happen. I believe these young people and young adults and just like you can lay hands on people at their job sites and things will happen. I believe, though maybe not at a job site, if you work somewhere, maybe on a farm or something like that, that you can declare the glory of God and watch angels surround this world and surround this place. I believe that there is an intercessing that needs to take place for us, that we say that we are not just the Pentecostals of Watertown in name, but we are the church of the living God, and we are based on the foundation of Jesus' name. Amen. We can't just pray hoping something's going to happen. We need to start praying expecting something's going to happen. And you know what? We're not just going to pray in the altar and say, God, something's going to happen. You're going to do something in this house. No, we're going to declare, God, you are going to heal in this house. You're going to save in this house. You're going to deliver in this house. God, use me and my hands as I lay hands on people. God, use me as I pray at my home. God, you are going to do it. Don't be shocked when doors open to new opportunities at your job sites. Don't be shocked when new opportunities show up for you to share the gospel to someone. Don't be shocked when opportunities at this church open wide the doors for our future. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when an amazing, unbelievable, unprecedented, unstoppable revival just breaks open wide in this church. Don't be surprised. You know how I know we're not surprised? When we start preparing for it. Oh, I don't see it. I don't see it happening right now. No, you don't see it right now. But if you'll start preparing for it, God will send the harvest. God always sends a harvest. God wants people to be saved. God wants people to be living a life for Him and for His glory. God wants people to give glory to the Jesus name. God wants that. But the only way God can send it to us is that we're prepared for it. If we're constantly fighting gossip and talking about one another, and we're talking about how people can't do this and that, and we don't show the love of Christ to one another or everybody that comes into this room, then we are not ready for revival. We have to show, as we always do on Sunday morning, every guest that walks in the room with unprecedented love and honor, like you guys do every Sunday with worship to heaven that we've never experienced before, prayer to God that we've never prayed before. If we keep doing what we're doing and just make a little bit more preparation, then there's a harvest. There's a harvest. When you walk out these doors, you can see a harvest driving down the road every second. You can see when you go to the Mexican restaurant or Randolph's or wherever you go. If you go to Lebanon, wherever you go, you're going to see the harvest because God is preparing us for a harvest. The promises of God are yea and amen. In Genesis 18, Sarah laughed at God. Hey, for all intents and purposes, for good reason. The young lady was 99 years old, and God said, you're going to bear a son. Oh, my Lord. She laughed. You're kidding me. I'm old. I can't. That's not going to happen. Romans 4:20-21 said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. How many believes that if God promised it, he's going to do it? Yes. If God promised it, he's going to. There's just got to be enough faith. I don't believe in myself very much, right? I'd like to think if I promise something, I'm going to do my best to do it. But there could be something to stop me. But God of the universe, if he promised it, there is nothing. Absolutely nothing that can stop him from fulfilling that promise. That is the posture of faith. Being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. You see, I'm fully persuaded. I've always been fully persuaded that God could do anything. But my struggle was that unbelief that would God do what I wanted him to do. Because sometimes we want things that probably, well, aren't good for us. That aren't wise for us to have or to do. But there's just something about when you walk with God, when you walk close with God, when you talk with God, when you're pursuing God. How many's ever heard the scripture, He'll give you the desires of your heart? That's a great scripture. I love that scripture. I think we just take it a little out of context. I don't believe that means He's just going to give us what we want. Because obviously, that don't always happen. I don't want Scarlett to bust her mouth open and teeth go up into her. But it happens, right? It happens. So suddenly, I've got to change. Okay, if God's not going to give me what I want, then I've got to look at that scripture a little differently. What does it really mean? Let's look at it this way. What if God gave you desires to your heart? It's no longer God giving me what I want, but now what I want changes because He's now giving me the desires that I need to have. He's giving me desires for people to be saved. He's giving me desires to pursue a good career. He's giving me desires to pursue giving Bible studies. He's giving me desire to pursue Him. And suddenly, that gives you the dominion. When His desires are in your heart, you start declaring, in Jesus' name, that be done. In Jesus' name, that be done. And it will, because anything is possible to those that believe. I remember when I prayed for a purple suit and it happened. I remember when I prayed for that person, scoliosis of the spine, and they were healed. I remembered when prayer of faith for the blind girl, and she could see. I seen that with my eyes. I declared that with my faith, not because I'm anything. And I could go on and on and on with stories about the impossible. But when God comes through, you're going to realize He's faithful all along. God is faithful all along. And we have to stop being surprised at what God does when He's already promised it. Our faith has to be so high and has to be increased so much that we come to expect it. Not because it's a bellhop mentality that says, ding, 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 God, I need something. I need a healing. I need a miracle. I need a financial. No. It's not like that. It comes to expect it because He promises. If you give, it shall be given unto you. I need somebody to grab a hold of that. If you give, it shall, that's a promise in the Word, it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That in the running over shall be poured into your lap. What kind of promise are you holding on to? Somebody needs to start reading the Word and saying, you know what? I don't know what God wants for me. Start looking at the promises. Start looking at the promises. Because the Word says that His promises are yea and amen, meaning they're going to come to pass. They're solidified. They're spoken by two. And out of the mouth of two shall one thing be established. So when God says it shall be done, it will be done. The only thing keeping us from having those promises, the only thing from keeping us from having those things is our faith. Our faith. That's why that man could say, God, I believe You could do it, but please help me with my unbelief. But there's got to be some action behind that, because what does James tell us? Faith without works, it's dead. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. Well, Mark chapter 10 tells us a story of blind Bartimaeus as he sat by a roadside begging. Now, before Jesus came on the scene, he was just begging for alms and begging that someone would lead him somewhere. But when he heard, Jesus was coming, he understood that if God had done a miracle for someone else, He could do it for me. And so he starts crying out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, hey, blind Bartimaeus, you've been here a while. Be quiet. Jesus is walking through. Jesus is trying to get somewhere. Don't bother Him. And you know what the Bible says? He cried louder. Jesus, have mercy on me. Look at me. I can't see You, but have mercy on me. Why would Bartimaeus do this? Why would this blind man do this? Because his faith didn't hide. His faith was so bold that faith doesn't whisper. When you want something for God and you believe the promises of God, you'll stand on that chair and you'll wave your hand like you're waving down an ambulance. God, I need You. God, Your promises said You're not going to leave me or forsake me. God, Your promise says when I give, You're going to give to me. Hey, don't forget about Your promise. I believe You can do it, and I'm going to stand here and I'm going to declare that Your promises will come to pass for me. Faith is bold. When you really believe God can do it, there's nobody else that's going to tell you to be quiet and to stop talking like that. Oh, well, Pastor, you need to stop saying God's going to give us buildings. That's just a little bit far-fetched. No, I'm going to cry louder. I'm going to scream louder because the promise is given unto our church that we are going to reach the world. Sometimes you got to walk to an altar. It's not that this place is any different than that place. I'm not saying that. But sometimes it takes a step of faith that says, I'm stepping out on the promise and I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to say, God, I don't know what You're doing in my life, but I declare that peace and prosperity, God, this heaviness I'm walking in, God, I pray it would be removed from me. God, I'm praying and declaring that You can do it. That's the kind of faith we need. It's not just for ourselves, but it's for our church. It's for our community. I can believe it. I can believe. You're going to walk in one day, maybe hopefully this week, maybe next month. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you're going to walk in and you're going to say, oh my goodness, Pastor, God just give me, you won't believe this. And I'm going to go, I can believe it. What did happen? Well, I walked in and my boss, I thought I was in trouble. And my boss said, I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to give you a $2 raise. I'm going to give you a $5 raise. I'm going to increase your salary by $30,000 a year. I can't believe it. I can believe it. Oh, Pastor, you won't believe it. My family member who's been lost and they walked away from God and they don't want anything else to do with church. They called me the other day and said they were struggling and they wanted me to pray for them and they wanted me to tell them how to get out of this. I can't believe it. Oh, I can. I can believe it. Why? Because God's promises are true and they will come to pass. And someone in this room needs to hold on to a promise that God gave you for your family, that God gave you for your life, that God gives you for your church. It's got to be bold faith, bold vision, bold expectation. It's got to be bold. I'm not an extroverted person. I'm more an introvert. You guys heard me say the analogy before. If you win $1 million in the lottery, you are not an introverted person. You're going to be running around, running outside, screaming. You're going to be telling everybody. You're going to be calling your friends. You're going to be calling your family. Hey, somebody, I need to tell you, this right here is worth every dime in this world it has to offer. This is what's paid by the price of our Creator. This is worth more than everything. And if you're going to do it for the dollar bill with a president on it, then you need to do it with the name of Jesus and call every family member, every friend. You need to be screaming from the mountaintops that Jesus is Lord. It's got to be bold. It's got to be bold. Because I can believe revival for Watertown. I can believe miracles happen in this church. I can believe that truth will be preached throughout our whole community. I believe that your family and your children and your marriage and your healing will happen. Luke chapter 5 tells a story. And this one's different. This one's different than the rest of the points I've made thus far of having faith that God will do something miraculous for you. This tells a story of a man who is paralyzed and has four friends. Four friends who carried him to a rooftop, tore a roof apart. Look, if you got a friend who's paralyzed, just come in the door. We'll pray for him. No need to tear the roof apart. But they tore the roof apart because the crowd was too thick. The door was blocked. So what did they do? They went to the roof, started tearing it apart. They lowered their friend to Jesus right in front of him. That man would have stayed paralyzed the rest of his life had he not had friends who took him to Jesus. Who in your life will stay lost? Who in your circle of friends will stay sick, will stay bound if they don't have a friend that will take them to Jesus? And you know what's crazy? The Bible doesn't say he looked at the man that was paralyzed and said, oh man, your faith, be healed. No, no. Go read it. Jesus looked up. And he looked back down at that man and he said, because of their faith, you're healed. See, you have the power. Every person in this room has the power to increase their faith so much that it changes the world around you. That you become friends with people that are not apart and believe like we believe. And I'm not talking about every detail. I'm talking about believe that Jesus can do it. And believe that Jesus can save. You are going to interact with people. And it's going to be because of your faith that Jesus says, I'm going to reach them. I'm going to touch them. I'm going to move in their life. I'm going to do something miraculous. I don't care if you're praying over a migraine. I don't care if you're praying over stage 5, 4, whatever the worst is, cancer. I don't care if you're praying for somebody who's blind, crippled, depressed, oppressed. It does not matter to me. If you can increase your faith enough to bring them to Jesus, Jesus will look at you and then he'll look at them and he'll look at them and say, because of your friend, because of your friend's faith, I'm going to do exactly what I said I would do in your life. That's the power of community faith. That's the power of having faith for our friends. It's not enough to just stand and someone else's faith carry us. It has to be that we are here for one another. That's what makes us the body of Christ. We have to look at one another struggling and going through things and we say, if you don't believe God can do it for you, I believe God can do it for you. If you don't believe God can get you out of that situation, I believe God can get you out of that situation. Because that is what faith does. And I'm here to ask you, if we could build that kind of faith that I've preached about today, what kind of church could happen in this community? What kind of church could we be if we had everybody believing together and we start saying, I can believe it. Every prodigal would come home. I believe it. Every building would be full that we build. I believe it. Every healing from every broken heart would come to pass. I believe it. And the city would be shaken with the truth of the gospel. I can believe it. Can you? Can you believe it? Because belief in what God can do is all we need. As I come to a close today, you can stand. Let's be honest though. Faith sometimes, it doesn't happen immediately, that miracle, no matter how much faith we have. Sometimes miracles take time. Why? Because Jesus ain't on our time. It's not, 11:41? It's not 11:41 in heaven. It's just on his time. He don't see clock 24 hours as we do. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. John 11 tells a story of a man named Lazarus who dies. And the people around Jesus, because Jesus loved Lazarus, you can go read the scriptures before that. Jesus loved Lazarus. This is like his best buddy. And Lazarus dies. And those people who knew Jesus, knew he was Lazarus' friend, and he went to Jesus. They went to Jesus. Jesus, Lazarus is dead. You can do something. He's sick. He's about to die. You can do something. Jesus just hangs around for 4 more days. What's he doing? I don't know. But if you're friends of Lazarus, family of Lazarus, you look and you say, Jesus, I don't care what you're doing. It can't be more important than my buddy that's about to die. My family, my brother's about to die. Jesus waits 4 days and he shows up and they're a little upset. Jesus, he's dead. I'm here. Well, he stinks, but his body is rotting. Like, what? You're late. You're too late. And Jesus says, didn't I, watch this, here's a promise. Didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God today. Lazarus is going to get up. He's gonna have a resurrection. And they start thinking he's talking about the end of days. Oh, Jesus, I know. When we rise in Christ, I get it. When the resurrection day at the end of days, he's going to get up. They just were so upset. They were just like, it was impossible. And Jesus said, no, he's going to get up right now. And they say, roll the stone away. And he says, Lazarus, come on out. You know why he had to say Lazarus? Because there's other dead people in there. And Jesus has so much power that if he said, hey, yo, dead folk, get up, everybody's getting up. Everybody's getting up. But sometimes, though no matter how much faith, the miracle is delayed, feels too late. But I want you to know this, a delay is not denial. It's not over until God says it's over. If a dream looks dead, God can resurrect it. If a promise looks buried, God can speak life to it. And all we need to do is be able to lift our hands and say, I can believe it. I can believe it.